Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. For our first interview, it's a post-dated segment, so some of the events referred to may already have passed. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Jody Florino from the MS Society. Tell me about some of the recent happenings with the MS Society.
Sure. Actually, today's a pretty exciting day for us because we are launching a new advocacy and awareness campaign to bring attention to some of the issues that impact Canadians that live with MS, as well as other episodic disabilities. So today, if folks go to endms.ca, we're leveraging some of the activity and action that's ongoing with the federal election to help raise awareness for some of the issues that impact the folks that we serve. So folks can visit endms.ca and fill out the e-action online writing campaign. And essentially what this will do is allow folks to connect with their local candidates and just help raise awareness for some of the issues that impact Canadians affected by MS and other episodic diseases.
So, what sorts of policies are you hoping to make change to?
The focus for this current online e-advocacy campaign is income support, secure jobs, and also getting more funding for accelerating research for MS. We know that in terms of secure jobs and income support, that's a big issue for folks that live with episodic illnesses. Oftentimes, the processes that are in place are really difficult for Canadians to maneuver through in terms of lots of back and forth. The information isn't all in one place. When people are able to break through some of the clutter, they find that they don't maybe meet the requirements that are recommended. So we're really looking for some of the systems that are in place to better recognize the realities of folks that are living with episodic illnesses. And that may mean that for some folks, they're feeling great and can work for 2 weeks, and then the next week they might not be feeling so great. Currently, our system really doesn't provide the right supports for folks that are in situations like that. So this year, for our online advocacy campaign, we're focusing on income supports, secure jobs, and accelerating research.
So do you foresee any challenges in getting this campaign up and running?
No, I don't think so. We've had really great success in the past with folks, with Canadians offering their support for helping raise awareness to end Canada's disease and get this on the political radar. We did a soft launch of the campaign a few weeks back, and we've already sent over 2,500 letters to candidates across our country. With today's press release going out and today's activities on social media, so folks can follow our Twitter and Facebook accounts at MS Society Canada. We hope to see that number grow. So we're hoping to actually reach about 10,000 letters out to candidates across the country over the next 5-6 weeks as the campaign trail heats up.
So what's the candidate's response been so far?
Well, I can only speak from my personal experience. And when I sent letters out to my candidates, I received some letters back from a few of the parties that was encouraging. Folks spoke about the need to put more funding towards accelerating MS research. They also spoke about the opportunities that they saw in things like stem cell research. So far, it's been encouraging. But I can definitely follow up with you at the end of the campaign to let you know about some of the success or challenges that we met over the coming 6 weeks of the campaign.
So, in your time with the MS Society, in previous campaigns such as this, has there been any success that stood out for you?
You know what, this is the first government relations advocacy campaign that I've worked on with the MS Society. Previously, these efforts were led by our government relations team. But this year, actually, we connected our government relations team with some of our communications folks because we really do think that some of these advocacy stories, this is the meat of what we're trying to do. We're really trying to change policies, to get on the political radar, to make Canadians aware of the issues that are faced by folks that are living with MS and other episodic disabilities. We've had success in a lot of government relation activities in terms of caregiver supports as an example, getting better supports for our caregivers across the country, getting better funding for folks that are trying to access therapeutic drug therapies that might be helpful to them in managing their MS. So we have seen some successes, but we know we still have a long way to go. And that's why campaigns like this, the advocacy campaign, are so important to do every year, to keep coming back to the politicians and the candidates to say this issue is not going to fall off the radar. We're here. We need greater support. And we're not going anywhere. So I hope to see continued support from Canadians.
So if you could send any one message about why there is a greater need, what would you say?
Any one message. I would say MS is Canada's disease. Canada has the highest rate of MS in the world, and we need our government officials to take notice and recognize that we need accelerated research in the field of MS and greater support for people, families, and communities that are impacted by MS.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
No problem.
Particularly now, disabilities would seem to be one of the hot-button issues. Asking candidates, what are they going to do for the disabled community? It's a perfectly valid question. The truth is, looking ahead, plans to make things fully accessible, even though it would be a few years down the line, politicians and political groups, as well as any member of government, should bear this in mind. Fact is, individuals with disabilities are a part of the community. They're part of the voting public. Now, to any thinking politician, they should be asking themselves, how can I actually serve this segment of the population? What can I actually do to make real, lasting change? The legacy of any politician or any government group is not the fact that they were in office. It's what they leave that the next group can build on. That if they establish something meaningful in terms of policy, in terms of work, in terms of ongoing projects, something that can be built upon. Sometime down the line, it becomes really an amazing, even a beautiful thing. But for the MS Society, as they continue to go forward and petition these different politicians, they're asking them outright. They're saying, can you help us? If you're elected, if you're put in a position of power, what can you do for our group? That's basically the nature of politics, seeing what someone can do to be of support. And for any politician, it's their responsibility to keep in mind how people will genuinely be affected. It's not about just getting elected or just holding an office. It's about being there for the people. And for those affected with MS, progress is being made. We can't allow ourselves to backslide. We can't just say, we're going to do a token gesture. We're going to provide X amount of support and no more. Putting in a foundation of real change, of real work, that's the key, folks. Creating something that can be built on generation by generation. And as our understanding grows, as our technology grows, we can build on these policies. We can work with those in power to create better opportunities. And once one community does it, and does it successfully, sets a precedent, creates a model by which people can say, this has worked in this other area. So why in the world wouldn't our leaders take a step to work on this for us? Are we not also entitled to some consideration? Are we not also worthy human beings, capable of achieving and succeeding if given the right opportunities? Politicians and disability groups are alike in so much as they should never lose focus of the people they're actually meant to help. Yes, a group can bring in all kinds of money. They can have all the community supporting them. What does that mean if they're not actually concerned with the needs of the people they're supposed to be serving? Now, the MS Society, they do some great work. They stand by their people. And by trying to reach those in power, they're trying to make a very public statement that these politicians, they can help. They can be a positive force of change. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Don't feel alone. The Distress Center provides free, anonymous and confidential, caring and emotional support, referrals, crisis intervention, and suicide prevention by specially trained volunteers. They're open from noon to midnight. Sometimes talking does help. So call 519-256-5000.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Jody Florino from the MS Society. In this segment of our show, we're going to hear some more about the MS Society from Abida Shamji. So tell me a little bit about your experience with the MS Society.
So I am the manager of government relations with the MS Society of Canada's Ontario division, and I do have some national responsibilities as well. And so what my role really entails is managing the policy priorities of the organization, advocating on behalf of people living with MS, as well as caregivers, to the Ontario government, as well as to the federal government. And we have a number of programs that exist in order to achieve those goals.
So, can you give me an overview of what lobbying to the government might entail?
So, in terms of lobbying, we meet with members of provincial parliament, either in your constituency offices, or we go to Queen's Park. Actually, we're going to Queen's Park on October 27th to do our annual day on Queen's Park, where we meet with MPPs, talk about our priority issues, and try and garner some support, try and understand who our supporters are within government and who might not agree with some of the policy recommendations that we've put forward. And I think that's a really important perspective to understand sometimes, because you want to be able to poke holes in an argument and you want to understand the other side of things. So, you know, we try and meet with everyone that we can, whether or not they have a relation to the health portfolio or any of the issues that we are advocating for. We really try and get a sense of a good presence on Queen's Park. And then within government, so within sort of the bureaucratic side of things, we meet with the policy advisors, senior policymakers within the various departments that that we're interested in or that relate to our issues, and develop relationships with them as well. My role is really to look at current policy and look at, you know, existing programs and see what improvements can be made, especially with the lens of looking at issues that affect people living with MS.
So what are the major issues to be presented on this occasion?
So the major issues, provincially, I will tell you, and I'll also give you our national scope as well. Provincially, our current priorities are, A, providing support to caregivers. Caregivers make up such a large group of our members, and we're constantly looking for ways to advocate for caregiver support. What's great is that we have been successful on many levels, recently successful with the passage of Bill 21, which is the Leave to Help Families Act, which now provides up to 8 weeks of leave for those who need to care for a loved one. So we do applaud the government for that, and we're continuing to advocate for caregiver support, especially along the lines of income support for caregivers, as well as consistency when it comes to service delivery, respite care, that sort of thing. And then the second issue is employment and income, and that's a national issue as well. It's an issue that's top of mind, as we know that people with MS who are able to work want to continue to work to support themselves. And so we do know employers need to be flexible in making those necessary accommodations for those living with a disability like MS. And then for those who can't work, they should still have access to an income support program that allows them to live a decent quality of life. And then the last issue is ensuring those living with MS can live an independent life. And that's really a broad category that allows us to look at a variety of issues. And this year, we're concentrating a lot on access to rehabilitation and extending seniors programs to those with disabilities. And also included in this category is the issue of accessibility. It's been receiving more and more attention with the release of an accessibility action plan by the Ontario government. And so, you know, we're continuing to advocate for that and ensure that hits home to employers, to organizations, to the general public.
So, in your time with the MS Society, working to lobby for change, is there any one success moment that stood out for you?
Yeah, I'll go back to what I talked about with Bill 21. You know, we've been advocating for this bill for years, I would say about 2 to 3 years. And finally, a couple of years ago, it was passed in the House. And to see that success and to see that actually materialize into something that can be helpful to caregivers was an especially proud moment, I think, for the society and just for me personally to hear caregiver stories about people who, you know, couldn't take time off to care for a loved one and now have legislation to do so was incredibly powerful. And you know, talking to MPPs and to staffers within government and really, you know, having that experience of them listening and working with us to make that change made it all worth it and made it really, made that impact very special.
So if you could send any one message about the need for ongoing change, what would you say?
I think, you know, we're lucky to live in a country and in a province where change is possible. And so, you know, I wouldn't shy away from it. I think a lot of people are maybe just kind of sit back and not take part in the public process and not take part in consultations. There are, you know, dozens of consultations that the public can take part in, and I would, you know, be aware of that. I would, you know, contribute to that, because at the end of the day, people are listening, and change is definitely possible.
So, what are the next steps for the society in their lobbying efforts?
Well, right now we are actually in the process of a federal advocacy campaign. So we're working diligently on that, encouraging people to send a message to candidates that MS is Canada's disease and that they need to join the fight. And the reason we say MS is Canada's disease is because we have by far the highest rates of MS in the world, 100,000 Canadians. So we want people affected by MS to get involved in this election and join our federal election campaign. And you can do so by visiting our website. So that's sort of the key next step. And in terms of our provincial priorities, like I said, we are meeting with MPPs across the province on at Queen's Park on October 27th with our staff and volunteers. So that's also something that's underway, and hopefully as a result of those two initiatives, we'll be able to see some lasting impact and build some lasting relationships that can move us towards that change we're looking for.
So how are you spreading the word about this work?
Well, our target audience for the election campaign is obviously the federal election candidates, but in terms of participants and get it, it's everyone and anyone. What's great about the MS Society is we're a partner with a lot of organizations. We sit on a lot of coalitions, so we have access to, you know, a wider audience than just, you know, people living with MS or people affected by MS, although that's a large number as well. We work with partner organizations. For example, we work with the Canadian Caregiver Coalition. They have access to caregivers across the country that are impacted by a number of diseases that face the same issues. I think people living with disabilities, people affected by episodic conditions, so, you know, not just MS, but maybe Parkinson's, for example, and then family and friends. So what's interesting about being a caregiver is that if you're not a caregiver now, you either will be or you will be a recipient of care at some point. It's just, that's how, you know, life works. So I think the general public as well is a really important audience, because these are the issues that can almost affect anybody.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah, no problem.
During her interview, she touched on one of the key points in political life as well as disability life. Political life is not about the candidates. It's about the people within communities, people who need support and who together can make real change. Fact is, getting actual legislation for these caregivers, that's a huge victory. Sometimes it's easy to consider the rights of just individuals with disabilities, but those who stand beside them day by day make life that much better, that much more livable, also deserve a great deal of respect, great deal of consideration. But the fact of the matter is, it takes a great heart to do that work. It takes an actual connection to a person with a disability, a genuine desire to say, I believe in you, I believe in your potential, and I'm going to be that someone who day to day you can turn to, whether it be a simple need or just moral support. I'll be there. Such a person make all the difference in the world. Because for a person with a disability, the illusion that they're facing their condition alone, that they have to face all these problems, all these tasks, no support at all, once that illusion is gone, never comes back. By having the right support person, they can come to understand there's not just someone there to make life better, but that there's hope in the world. And that if you live with hope day after day, sooner or later that hope will be justified. Sooner or later, it will be the day that things get better. If you just keep pushing for tomorrow, you'll find that one of those tomorrows is worth living for. From there, things do get better. To be fair, there are some politicians involved in some great disability work who genuinely do have a heart and a hope for what can be done. Past guests of this show, including Mayor Mike Bradley of Sarnia and the Honorable David Onley, both had such hope that we as a society could continue to grow, to make real change, to make progress. Disability life and working with all branches of government is not simply a matter of tossing a turkey bone and saying, "Yay, ain't we great, we did something for this segment of the population." No, it's about meaningful change. Saying, we're planting the seed today, and years from now, it will have grown into something meaningful, beautiful, sustainable. While governments do have a responsibility to all the people and their constituents, they should never lose sight of who those groups are. They should make it a priority. Find out what the needs in any given community are and try to respond to that. You can't find out what a person really wants or needs for the future unless you actually sit down and talk with them. Ask the questions. Is your community accessible? And if it isn't, what would you like to see added? And then you can start to develop a real plan, real steps towards making things better. For caregiver support that the MS Society is lobbying for, this could be a hot-button issue, especially for anyone entering the field. They say to themselves at the start of the journey, "I want to help. I want to be a positive force of change. And I want to make this a career." But the question then becomes, is that realistic? Is it possible to enter into this field and have a sustained income, to have the right benefits, the right supports, so I can be at my best and therefore give my best to my clients? The question is not just about those who are working or living with a condition now. The question is, what will life be like for those who have it down the line and those who support them? Are we going to be a society of real change, of real ideals? Are we going to be that group that has something in place for all our people? Fact is, our leaders have to keep in mind, in a manner of speaking, they work for us. They work for making change for members of the community. And I have a great respect for what the MS Society is doing, trying just to make life a little bit better. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.